blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 161, stanzas 1, 6, and 8. My soul in silence waits for God. My Savior he has proved. He only is my rock and tower. I never shall be moved. 1, 6, and 8 of Psalter 161.
Let us next make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. From Scripture, let us read together from the book of the Psalms, and thereof Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant, and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we may be together once again in the midst of our flock upon thy holy day. And it is thy holy day wherein which thou thyself has instituted to be a day of rest from all the labors of our hands in the midst of this world. But thou knowest that there is also a rest unto the people of God, and that is to be a picture of that rest wherein thou wilt take away all the need for labor and all the unrest that is living in their hearts. And Lord, thou knowest also that it is now for us a special week, because thou dost say, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup, when we hope to commemorate thy holy supper, also thy own institution in the week to come. And Lord, then thou knowest each and every one of thy own people, where that they are, and it is so often that thou dost have to say that I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love, and thou wilt draw them back unto thyself, for thou wilt have them to live at thy footstool in a true saving faith continually, oh, to take advantage of that rest that thou givest unto them. But thou knowest what it is within their own hearts and lives, because there is yet, as we have heard in this morning hour, that old man and this world that is continually calling after the flesh, and that flesh that is still so willing to run after all that is vain and carnal, and that sometimes there are desires that they might lay down this body of death and be received into that place where that old man will not exist anymore, and wherein that new man may have his desire from the beginning of his conception and birth in the midst of this world. O Lord, that thou may look on all thy dear children. O that thou may put in thy hand, O Lord, in the hole of the door, that thou mayest leave behind a little myrrh upon the handles of the lock. O that their hearts may be drawn, and that they might seek after thee again, and that they might rise up from their sloth, that they might go out into the city, or that they might say even unto the daughters of Jerusalem, that hast thou seen him whom my soul loveth? O thou dost not permit that bond to be broken, thou who art the Alpha and thou who art also the Omega, who does not suffer thy people, though they fall, to fall away, and thou wilt bring them back again. Oh, could it be the experience of thy church also in the midst of us? For our hearts are deceitful above all things, and they are desperately wicked. And that is not only after that new, before that new birth, but also afterwards. Oh, then we need to be corrected, and then we need to be drawn. Lord, thou art the first, and thou art the last, and thou art the beginning, and thou art the ending. Oh, that thou may uphold thy own, and give that that sacrament may be, and when it may be administered in the midst of us, to the profit of thy church. Oh, that thou may look on each and every one, because we have heard out of thy word, I love the Lord. And Lord, thou knowest, and that it is a love that thou dost plant into the heart of thy own in that day of their new birth. But Lord, thou knowest also how that it can be in the life of thy own children. Oh, did thy servant not say, "It is the point I long to know, and oft it causes anxious thought, do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? And if I love, why am I thus? Why this dull and lifeless frame? O Lord, thou knowest all thy children, and they cannot understand how it goes in their life, and what they think it will be in the beginning, and how it turns out in the continuance. And then it is so different. It seems all to go so upside down. Oh, they cannot fathom that thou canst look upon such a one as they are. Oh, that thou may draw, and that thou may instruct, and that thou may bring also to the birth, that thou may show thy dear and only begotten Son unto those who do not know him. Oh, that thou may open, and that thou may reveal thyself. Look a little through the lattice, Lord. Oh, that that people, they may rejoice, and when they might see thee coming, leaping upon the mountains, and skipping upon the hills, to take away all that is of self, and to give that true and saving faith, to look unto thee, oh, to cast their whole case upon thee, and which they cannot solve from their own side. Oh, that thou may give, when there is no opening yet, and that thou may bring to that place where we are not able to deliver ourselves, and that thou may show something of that way of salvation, as thou didst unto Jacob, when he had to flee from his brother Esau. Lord, that thou may remember all of us, and that that is to be held before us. Oh, then it is has been so often that the greatest part must say that I am ignorant of these things. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, what maketh any man to differ? And there is nothing in a man. Oh, there is nothing in thy people. It is all from thee. It is all a work from eternity. And it is all a powerful work that is through thy dear and only begotten Son. And it is through the power of thy most Holy Spirit that thou dost take us and quicken us from the dead and give us a new life. Oh, that these means may be used for the conversion also of many. Thy word and that sacrament when it is set before us. Oh, that we may be given to see a little and to feel a little of what we so miss upon our journey, traveling to a never-ending eternity. Oh, give our hearts to hearken unto the things that are spoken, even as a Lydia of old. That is thy work, O Lord. It is not our work, that it is thy own. O, we wait upon thee. We beseech it of thee, and that thou mayest do it for thy name's sake. Remember us all in the needs and the cares of this life. They are many in the greatest part because of our own iniquity, and what we have brought upon ourselves in our deep fall, and that our hearts are so miserable and so wretched that we do follow after all that is sinful, that is evil. Wilt thou help in all the circumstances of the needy, of the infants, of the youth, of the older ones? Oh, when there is a sparing of life, even through accident, oh Lord, then one is taken away, and the family goes mourning, and another one is spared. Oh Lord, what maketh us to differ? Oh, humble us under thy goodness, and wilt thou break all of our hearts under all of thy doings, and bring us to thy footstool in truth, under all the callings and the goodness, that it might break our hard and stony hearts, that they may become contrite before thee. Remember those that mourn. Remember the widows also in our midst, and all the needs and all the sorrows and all the cares and the loneliness. All those that have no children, that are not married, thou knowest also others. They have burdens and crosses. Lord, give a place at thy footstool. Give to know that thou art God, and even through all of our own iniquity, that thou art good, and that thou and thy goodness may bring us truly to that place where we may acknowledge thee. Remember us then also in this hour, Lord. Look thou upon us in the bringing and in the hearing of thy holy word. Oh, and it will go forth if thou wilt give it. May it be with power. Oh, may it be received also feelingly and believingly in the heart of each and every one of us. Take us, Lord, by heart and by hand, and take away all the distractions. Thou knowest what they can be. They are so manifold. But wilt thou give us truly hear with spiritual ears, new ears, that we might see with eyes that are opened by thee, and that we might understand, and we might receive with a heart that is prepared as that fallow ground has been dug up and that has been made soft by thee. Look upon us then, help us, Lord. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 117 all the stanzas. As pants the heart for streams of living water, so longs my soul, O living God, for thee. I thirst for thee, and for thee my heart is yearning. When shall I come thy gracious face to see? 1 through 4 of 117. Beloved congregation, next week, the Lord willing, the Holy Supper of the Lord is to be administered in our midst once again. That sacrament is not instituted by the Lord for the purpose of regeneration, but it is for the purpose of strengthening of faith. What does that mean? That means in the commemoration of that sacrament that faith is assumed, that it is presumed. That is why it is in a special way necessary that we examine ourselves. The Lord has said in His Word that that sacrament may be administered and it may be received and celebrated according to the institution of Christ Himself. Saving faith is exercised by degrees. Thus sometimes we read the Lord Jesus, He says, O ye of little faith. And then other times we read, O great is thy faith. Thus there are degrees of the exercise of faith. And it is in the instituting of the sacraments that the Lord does acknowledge the difficulty in the exercise of faith, because that those institutions are there for the very purpose of helping a faith that is weak. Paul says faith is a gift of God. There is no saving faith without regeneration. Saving faith is born in regeneration, and then it begins to exercise itself. When? Not after many years, but faith begins to exercise itself immediately. In the moment that it is born, that is, children, just like a little child, the little brother or sister that is born into your household, and then you say that little brother or sister cannot say, oh, that is my sister, and that is my brother, and that is my mother, and that is my father. No, that little child needs to grow, but you say, oh, my little brother or sister is still a child. He's still a child of this family. And he has abilities that belong to people who are alive, that are living. He has abilities that do not belong to people who are dead. Thus, it is only that those abilities need to grow. And in the growth of that child, then he will eventually be given to see different objects that he may look upon, that he may realize that is now the same with faith. When that faith is given to grow, then there are slowly by steps different objects that faith may be upon, rest itself upon, look unto. What was that desire that Ruth had in the beginning of that new life? Oh, she said, thy people, my people, and thy God, my God. You have that desire. Children, young people, do you have that desire? Like Ruth. And now how could she get it? How could she become one of their people? Say she did not know. No. Well, what had to happen? Well, you know yourself now. You say she had to be married to Boaz. Yeah, Boaz. Who is Boaz? Ruth didn't know who Boaz was. And so, step by step, the Lord led her with the desires in her heart, and then the Lord brought her onto the field of Boaz, and the Lord gave Boaz command his servants to leave a little food behind. And thus, step by step, slowly, then that faith, that was true faith already, in that life of Ruth, already in the beginning, but the object of faith still had in the Lord's time to come upon Boaz, that he had to become her hope and her expectation, and that eventually then she would be married unto him and indeed would be incorporated into that people of Israel. Our text for way of preparation in this afternoon can be found in the portion that was read to you, Psalm 116, and thereof the sixth verse. Psalm 116, verse 6. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. So far, the words of our text, the preservation of the simple. First, the simple, and second, their preservation. First, the simple and their preservation. The Lord preserveth the simple. So who are the simple? The word means to be naive, to be open-minded, a person who is unsophisticated. Those are persons that are very often taken advantage of by others in this world, especially those who are more crafty. And thus, the unsophisticated, they are those that are not able to take care of their own affairs. And the author of this psalm, we do not really know. Many say that it is David that wrote this psalm, and that is a very likely thing because the circumstances well fit the life of David, who has also written so many of the other psalms. But the psalmist counts himself among the simple. We know David had so many enemies. And we know that David's enemies were also very crafty. Well, they were more crafty than he was. And then he says to the Lord that I am just simple. And then he needed the Lord to take care of him. Oh, are you also simple? Are you also naive? Do you have also enemies that are more crafty than you? Is sin your enemy? And is sin more crafty than you are? Or are you afraid that sin is indeed going to overcome you, and that it is going to overtake you, and that you are not going to be able to deliver yourself, that it is going to have dominion over you? Psalmist, he says, I was brought low. Were you ever brought low? We were brought low when in our father Adam, we were created so high in the image of God. No other creature in the whole world was created like we were. Knowledge of God, righteousness, holy people. And then we have fallen so very, very low. But is that how we live? With such an admission, with such an acknowledgement, that we are creatures who have fallen away from God, No, that is not how we live. Oh, we live as just as people who do not want to confess this, who want to uphold ourselves, who still want to be just like Adam said, the devil said to Adam, you shall be as gods. That is still what we want to be, even though we have fallen so deeply. What do we need? We need to be brought low. How can it be that a man can be delivered from his rebellion if he is never brought low, if he never comes to confess it, that he is never made before God a corrupt sinner? How can there ever be place for a man to be lifted upon a rock when he has never come down into that pit? Oh, then he can never magnify the Lord to say that the Lord has delivered me and that he has set me up upon a rock after bringing me up out of the miry pit and the clay. I was brought low. I was brought low, not, yeah, oh, that is, he was brought low by who? He was brought low by the Lord. Because we don't bring ourselves low. Oh, what does it take to bring ourselves low? What did the Lord do to David? David sent the Lord sent against David his own father-in-law, that he had to be persecuted by his own father-in-law. David was persecuted by his own son. Oh, what does that mean? What does it take for a person to be brought low? Is that something we do to ourselves? No, we do everything that we are not brought low. We do everything that we can stand upon our feet, that we can maintain ourselves. But if the Lord is merciful to us, then indeed we will be brought low. In the days of Isaiah, he says there are people that they bow their head like a bulrush. They bow their head like a bulrush. That is, they walked always with their head down. What was that? Oh, that was a pretension. Oh, they pretended humility. But they were not brought low. No, only their head was low. But their heart was not low. That is not the lowliness that the Lord is working. No, the Lord says, when thou fastest, wash thy face before men, that thou appear not unto men to fast. Oh, what is it? It is the heart. And whatever way the Lord is going to do that in the life of his people, everyone in a different way, but the Lord is going to bring the heart of his people low. I was brought low. We know that David was brought low when he had to flee from his father-in-law, from Saul. Or we can read that David in his own conscience was very clear. Then he could say to his father-in-law, he could say that he has done nothing against him, and he could call on the Lord. And that the Lord would give unto every man his due, unto the righteous man his due, unto the faithful man what is due unto him. And that the Lord would give unto the wicked also what is due unto him. But what happened later? Oh, then we read that David, he was persecuted by his own son. And when David was sitting there in that city, and his son was seeking his life, David did not say the same thing anymore. And why not? Well, because then the accusation was ringing still in his ears from the prophet of the Lord, what the Lord had said unto him, that the Lord was going to bring a sword into his own house. And the Lord said, why? He said, it's because thou hast killed Uriah, the Hittite, with the sword, and thou hast taken his wife to be thy wife. And now his own son seeks his life. And now David, you understand how low that he is brought, because now it is his own sin. And David has to acknowledge that. And that way that the Lord is leading him, that is his own fault. Oh, what does the Lord have to do to bring us low, to bring us in the place where we need to come? Because David had to say then that the Lord is righteous in what he brings upon me. I was brought low. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. The sorrows of death. What is death? Oh, that is, we would say, the last punishment. That is the ultimate punishment. We'd say when all of the things before death, all of the sicknesses, all of the afflictions, all of the trials, oh, they are coming. But what is now that ultimate punishment? That is death. That is a threefold death. And when a man is laying before death, what is then he able to do about this? David's son said, there is no discharge in that war. Or do we imagine now what that is? Because some, they have received even such tidings. Or tidings of death. And when we stand before that last enemy, oh, then we will feel something of the helplessness against this last enemy. Did you ever feel something of that helplessness? Because faith, when is that born? Faith is born in regeneration. And faith that is born in regeneration does not need a disease. It does not need an accident in order to believe that he has to die and that he has to appear before God. Doesn't need anything outward. All those outward things are callings. We have it in our midst today, do we not, young people? We have that in our midst today. Your own friend. Oh, how different that it could have been for us this day. It's been different with others. And now this calling that is coming to us. Say, what does it do to us? What does it do to you, young people? How old are you? Do you believe you have to die? And that you have to appear before God? No such an accident. You know what it will do to us? If the Lord does not sanctify it, it will harden us. It will harden us, and we will go on worse, and we will go on harder than we ever were before. You know what we need? We need a new heart. Because then is born faith. And that faith doesn't need an accident. And it doesn't need a serious disease. But faith believes. It believes. What is now one of the first objects of true saving faith, that is the Word of God. And then it will read in that Word of God that it has to die, and then it will believe it. And we will go over the world that way. Even if we are young, when naturally we say we have our whole life before us. No. Such a young person does not have much life before him. He sees that because the activity of faith is believing. I said in my haste, all men are liars. Can you understand that from David? That he said that? All men are liars, because who were all those men around him? All the people that were around him. We know he was being persecuted. And it was that he was also betrayed. Betrayed. Betrayed by his own father-in-law. He was betrayed by his own wife. Betrayed by his own son, whom he indulged in. Betrayed by his own counselor, Ahithophel. Well, then you can imagine there comes a time that David is afraid to say anything to anyone. He cannot trust who is lying in his bosom, cannot receive anything, any help, any courage from any man. I said in my haste, all men are liars. Where does that church need to be brought now? Oh, they need to be brought low. And what does it mean to be brought low? That means that I am not able to help myself, that I cannot take care of my own affairs because I am simple. And that means that there is no one else that is around me. Oh, my beloved husband, my beloved wife, they are so good to me. My children, my parents, they love me dearly. But I feel so alone. I feel so alone because they are not able to help me in that what I so need the very most. Or you go into your bedroom. You ever do that? You go into your bedroom where you are all by yourself. And then you are saying, just like David, all men are liars because everything from this world is cut off. And there is no hope for you from any man. Oh, my poor soul, how shall I come through this world? And how shall I go out of this world? I do not know it myself, and not one of my most loved ones is able to help me. That is now the picture that we have. That is the picture that we have throughout that whole Word of God. Lepers, blind, the deaf, the dumb, the lame, all men are liars. I'm impotent, and there is no help from me. Oh, my friends, they can bring me on a bed, but that is now all that they can do. They are not able to deliver my soul. All that is the place that the Lord is delivering his people from. That was a place of Adam. It was a place of Adam when he was hiding. When he was hiding from God and he could find nothing to cover himself with, in his guilt, in his pollution. from God. That is the place of the prodigal. When he was sitting there with those swine, he could bring himself in that place. But there was nothing he could do to bring himself out of that place again. Discouraging. You discouraged too? That is a very discouraging place. It is a place of hopelessness from my own side. It is a place of helplessness for the need of my own poor soul. You know who speaks there? Satan. Lots to say. And what do you have for him? You have for him no answer. No one has an answer for you. What do you need then? We see that in our second thought, the Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Who is that? That is the Lord. That is Jehovah. That is the covenant God of Israel. Thus, when Adam was there and he was hiding for fear in and amongst those trees of the garden, then God came. God came to Adam. Adam could not go to God. Adam hid from God. Adam did not dare to approach unto God. And God came to Adam. Do you see, young people, how God is the first? How God is the first? That is how it is always in the life of his people. Is that an encouragement? Say an encouragement? Why would that be an encouragement? Oh, do you ever feel that you will never return to him? Do you ever see that there is only one hope? And that is the hope that it begins on the Lord's side. Because I have this incurable heart. It is a dead heart. It is a resisting heart. It is an evil heart. And unless the Lord comes and he changes that heart, it is impossible for me to be saved. The Lord rebuked Adam. Oh, the Lord told Adam what the consequences of his sin was going to be for himself, but also for all his posterity. But the Lord also did something else. There the Lord spoke in his presence to Satan about that seed of the woman. The seed of the woman that would bruise the head of the serpent. Oh, that serpent. He was too strong for Adam. Adam had experienced this. And now, in the presence of that serpent, the God of heaven and of earth, his maker, his creator, he said to that serpent that he was now going to send the seed of the woman. And that seed was going to be more powerful than Satan. He was going to destroy Satan. And he was going to destroy the works of Satan. What entered into the heart of Adam in that moment? Hope. hope. There was no hope for Adam until that moment. Why not? He had sworn a covenant with God. That covenant spoke of the law. That covenant spoke of a reward. That covenant spoke of a punishment. There was nothing. There was nothing in that covenant. Now for Adam, in that state and condition that he brought himself in, nothing. That old covenant provided no hope for him, but only an eternal despair. And then the Lord came. And then the Lord spoke of the seed of the woman. And when the Lord spoke it, then came hope. Then came hope. For the first time in that heart of Adam after the fall, he had to go out of the garden. The Lord would make this world a waste, howling wilderness. It will be through much tribulation that he must enter into that kingdom of God. But he went out of the garden into that waste, howling wilderness with hope in his soul. It was hope upon the promise of God. And that was a wonder for Adam. Oh, the Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Adam experienced that. Is that also your experience? Because that is now the experience of the church of all ages, and also necessary to know for the proper attendance of the Holy Supper of the Lord. Let us sing from 312. 1, 2, 3, and 6. I love the Lord who heard my cry and granted my request. In him who hears and answers prayer, my trust through life shall rest. 1, 2, 3, and 6 of Psalter 312. the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Then called I. When was that? Well, we read it was in his trouble and in his sorrow. Otherwise, we do not call upon the Lord. But it was not only in his trouble and in his sorrow. It was also in his hope. Because also without hope, we do not call upon the Lord. You can read of the heathens, and they took a tree and cut it down and made an idol. If we would do that, children, take a tree, we put it here in the middle. I want you to call upon that idol. You will not do that. Why will you not do that? You will not even think about doing that. Because there is no hope. You don't believe for one moment that that piece of wood can do anything for you. And when there is no hope at all in your heart, then it is impossible for your heart, or you can do that outwardly, but it is impossible for your heart to call upon that block of wood. And now the soul does not go out unto the Lord Jesus Christ until he is revealed to him. Because there needs to come hope in that mediator, in that soul, that it may look to him. Otherwise, and we do, we call, of course, in an outward way upon him, but our heart does not do it. Because in our heart there is either no need, or that heart has not seen him yet. Because Adam needed first that Christ would be revealed to him, that hope would be in his heart, in order for him to truly cry unto him. Thus, we have the most important mark, the most important point to consider for examination, self-examination, for that holy supper of the Lord. And what is that? That is whether our heart, not just our mind, not just our outward calling, no, but if we know in our heart that our heart has gone out with longing in need for that mediator, whether that mediator was ever made the hope of our soul being revealed to our soul as the only solution for our soul. Oh, you say, what about the knowledge of sin? Oh yes indeed. But you say, how deep must that go? Well, congregation, it must go very deep, very deep. In other words, it needs to go further than what is temporary. But how shall we now say that? How can we make some kind of a guide for you? Well, we cannot. We cannot. What must you know? You must know something of the relief that the Lord is giving from that pit. wherein that you are. Whatever depth was necessary for the Lord to bring you into, that is now the mark, the sorrows of death, I found trouble and sorrow, then called I upon the name of the Lord. Oh, do you know that point? Then called I upon the name of the Lord. Then my heart that began to go out after that mediator, when hope was born in my soul, when the Lord showed him unto me in my trouble and in my distress, when I had to say, all men are liars. Oh, then there came a change in me. And why the change? Well, because of the revelation of the Lord. Listen. Ephesians 1. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So that is not the revelation of God's word, but that is in your own heart, in your own soul, the spirit of revelation, in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye might know what is the hope of his calling, that ye may know what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, and so on. Or the psalmist, he says, I was brought low and he helped me. He could tell you how he was brought low, and he could tell you also how that the Lord helped him. The Lord preserveth the simple. He says, I could not order my own affairs. Oh, then his soul magnified the Lord. Oh, he has known something of that. When that hope was born in his soul, he helped me. Does that mean that he now is a possessor of him? Does that mean then that church is immediately delivered from all of her enemies? No, no. What does Paul say? He says, we are saved by hope. By hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? No. Oh, that the possession, no, that is not yet there. But he says that is coming in the future. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Oh, the psalmist, I was brought low. If we hope, what hope? What is that hope? He talks about that also. He says, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. That is his hope. That is what is revealed unto his hopeless soul in his trouble and in his sorrow. What is that grace? Grace? That is not what is stolen from the Lord, what is cheated out of the Lord. No. He says, gracious is the Lord and righteous. Righteous. Oh, he does not want to have it if it is stolen. He wants it to be righteous, and the Lord shows to him how he does this in a righteous way. That is now the revelation that is necessary to give hope unto our soul, to a soul who despairs of all men, who despairs of himself, and who believes,
Who believes what? He believes that he has to die and that he cannot die and that he cannot appear before God. All that is now one of the first objects of faith when he begins to flee from that city of destruction. Did your soul, congregation, ever begin to flee from that city of destruction? Believing in faith that is born in a new birth and regeneration, and that you are not able to appear before your Maker. Oh, you say, I cannot see that wicked gate. Oh, do you not see a way out for your soul? How that you can be delivered from all your sins and miseries? Must you despair then? You say, I cannot see. No. Bunyan says that is so common that people then they despair. Oh, there's a slew there, a slew of despair. And there are so many that are falling into that slew. And then, that is discerning. The Lord then discerns his own work. And he who is just plied in an outward way, he will not go through those afflictions and he is going back. But now, helpful. What did he say? Did you not see the steps? Did you not see the steps? You need not fall in there. And what are those steps? What does the Lord say to those who cannot yet see the gate and who believe that they must die and they cannot appear before God and they cannot see the gate? They do not know how to. He says, there are steps. What does the Word of God say? He says, ask. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Those are the steps that the Lord is giving in his word, that you may be encouraged, that you would not go back unto that city of destruction, but that you may continue in that way, and that that precious thing that you do see, oh, that you say, I cannot see, and yet your heart sees something, oh, he says, go now unto it and keep going toward it, and one day, oh, when you are seeking, when you are asking, and when you are knocking, oh, the Lord is going to give unto you to see that gate. No, that is not all happening in one day. That is not all happening in one moment. No, in patience, Paul says, possess ye your souls. If it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come and not tarry. Oh, what is your soul waiting for? What is your soul waiting to see? You say that is to see the gate. Oh, where is that happening? That is happening at Sinai. It is happening at the end of the law. It is happening in the hopelessness of man. It is happening when a man says, all men are liars. Oh, there it is. In that place that we will never bring ourselves, but where the Lord will always bring his own children. Oh, then he is bringing them in that place that he might see that gate. Oh, what do they then see? Oh, then they see what grace is. They see what grace is. Free and sovereign grace. When there is no hope anymore to be had because I have broken that first covenant, that law of God. Oh, and when the Lord is revealing that grace, and what is happening? Oh, Bunyan says, then you rejoice and you tremble. Oh, you rejoice because then you see, oh, it is still possible for such a one as I am. And I thought that it was impossible, because there was no help from man and there was no help from myself. But there is help in God. Oh, then the soul that is rejoicing when the Lord is opening a little. Oh, when he is giving to the soul, the spirit. spirit of revelation in the things of his only begotten Son. And now there is a change. Change. What is that change? You say the change was in the new birth. That is right. But now there is another change. And what is that change? Well, all before, then there was a longing for the Lord. But now there becomes a longing for his only begotten Son. That is the change that is happening in the revelation of that blessed mediator. Because before, you say, well, he is in God, yes. Is all encompassed in him, that is true. But then there is no distinction between the persons. Because when the Lord gives faith in the beginning, then it is faith in God. But now the Lord instructs, you remember Ruth? Oh, she didn't know about Boaz. That had to come. So step by step, and now it is at the end of that law. Now the Lord says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If any man enter by me, enter in. He shall go in and out and find pastures. And all it is in that time, beginning in that time, all that you say, oh, could I hear more of him? Oh, Lord, could I see thee? Wilt thou reveal thyself unto my soul? Why? Oh, because you have seen him. You have seen him. You have seen what grace is over against works. And that was so beautiful for you. You say, ah, I know so little of him. That is true. All that is so true. Know so, so little. It was such a small, it was so far. Yes, that is true. And on the same time, you saw in him everything. Everything. Then you said, he is the one that I need. He is altogether lovely. And now the heart that begins to go out in longings for him, in hungerings for him, and in thirstings for him that it has never seen, that has never taken place in their heart before this time. Oh, the Lord preserveth the simple. He keeps them. He guards them. He protects them. He keeps their life. He preserves their life. He preserves them from despair. And all their sins rise up against them, prevailing day by day. And now, the power of the Spirit of the Lord to open unto them something of the promise in that blessed mediator. And then they may believe. Then they may believe all that he will do, what he promises, that is written in that word of God. Even for such a wretched creature as I am. Oh, congregation, what a beautiful thing. What a beautiful faith. What a beautiful sight. How relieving that is to the soul of a man. All do we know just something of this? Because if we do not, then we must say, then you must keep yourself from the table of the Lord. Because this hope is now what it is about in that, in the blood of that Lamb. And remember, we do not say that if you do not know anything yet of that hope, that it is a lost case with you. No. Because faith that is not born at the cross, that is not born at the wicket gate, but faith, true saving faith, that is born still in that city of destruction. But it is only that we need to be in the city of destruction. We need to be instructed step by step. And when the Lord will give this to you all, do you know something of this? Does your heart testify that you are not a stranger of this hope? Reveal unto your soul in all your misery and in all your distress, the Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. Oh, I will never forget it. I will never forget it. Oh, could I get back again, just for a moment, what I have seen in that hour. In my affliction, this I found, that human help deceived, but ever faithful was the Lord, in whom my soul believed. In whom my soul believed. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? In your own life, for just a moment. Then he says, do this in remembrance of me. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is but a few simple words, but it needs to be brought in our hearts, or that we may be given to discern, because thou dost say in thy word, and to that church of old, that they had a name to live, and they were dead. O Lord, that we may be given a true self-examination in the week that is now upon us, or that we may go a little into our inner chambers, and that there we may beseech thee for light and for truth. And when we may know that we are strangers of these matters, that our souls may go out to thee asking and seeking and knocking, bring us safely home, and together upon the day of tomorrow, and when that day is set aside, that we may acknowledge thee. O Lord, bring us up with desire, and to do just that in our hearts, that it may not be a day and just of an outward thanksgiving, but that through a meditations upon thee and upon thy holy word and upon all thy goodness unto us, that our hearts may be broken and that they may become contrite. Oh, take us, Lord, by heart and by hand and lead us, forgiving all of our many, many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is 164, all the stanzas. Thou art my God, O God of grace, and earnestly I seek thy face. My heart cries out for thee. And what follows, 1 through 4 of 164.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.